dressed this way, she's a navy wave. But beneath that uniform, she is the Wonder Woman doll. And now you can create your own Wonder Woman adventures with these other dolls. Major Steve Trevor, Nubia Wonder Woman Super Foe.
Gotcha, Major.
Wonder Woman, hurry!
I'll save you, Major, as soon as I tie up a few loose ends.
Wonder Woman, Major Steve Trevor, and Nubia doll sold separately by Mego.
New adventures of the original Wonder Woman began in issue number 204, cover dated January-February 1973. It was the first news story by a returned Robert Kaniger as both writer and editor, featuring art by Don Heck and Dick Giordano. Kaniger chose to rapidly, abruptly, and insanely bring to a close the period of time where Wonder Woman had no powers and was sort of a globe-trotting adventurer. And did this in part by rendering Wonder Woman amnesiac, returning her to Paradise Island, and relearning her history through the advanced science of the Amazon Memory Bank. However, Queen Hippolyta did order that Diana was not to receive a total replay and was instead to omit channels 3 and 5. This would be key to the overarching story of the first three issues of Kaniger's return to the title. The history of the Amazons and Wonder Woman's specific origin and tales of her early years were relayed. As the multidimensional memory channels fade, the memory electrodes replaying the past end. All at the Amazon Memory Bank are breathless, not daring to break the tense silence.
Aphrodite, please bring back my daughter to me. Please grant a mother's prayer. Mother, thank Aphrodite. You've come back to me. Summon all the Amazons for a celebration.
Hola, Princess Diana! Hola, Wonder Woman! You are the mightiest Amazon in the world!
Suddenly, an astounding intruder. It was a woman clad entirely in silver armor, her face obscured by a grim helmet, on one arm a shield, in her left gauntlet a mighty sword. A plume of gold decorated her chest, and she wore a red-pink skirt.
I challenge this usurper. There's only one Wonder Woman. I am Wonder Woman.
Why does a stranger make my heart pound?
By Amazon law, I claim the right to prove in hand-to-hand combat which of us is Wonder Woman.
You do have that right, and you shall be given your chance.
After swift preparations, the entire assemblage of Amazons watches the unique duel at Paradise Island Stadium.
This stranger is as fearless as Diana in facing the bulls, but she can't be as agile, as strong.
Both Diana and the masked challenger daringly leap over the lunging horns of the bulls.
By Hera, stranger, no one but I have ever conquered the bulls before.
A trifle for me. I am Wonder Woman.
The stranger reminds me of... No, it's impossible. Then, why am I torn? Lest the stranger falls before Diana in the duel, sword and the scarf.
In this instance, Diana herself had a sword in her right hand, as each of the combatants' non-dominant hands were tied together. The challenger swung with her left. The clang of metal against metal resounded, but the battle was quite swift, ending with Diana prone, as the silver warrior raised up her sword in both hands, apparently preparing for a death strike. Diana's hand lunges at the sword.
You hesitated too long to kill me, stranger. Why? Why? Why?
I don't know.
By Amazon law, the duel ends in a draw. Stranger, rise. Remove your helmet and identify yourself, that all of us may honor you.
And before the Amazon masses, the warrior in silver removes her mohawk helm, revealing her long, flowing dark hair and brown skin.
I am Nubia, Wonder Woman of the Floating Island.
Hola, Nubia. Is it possible, after all these years, that Nubia is... We must celebrate our meeting, Nubia.
No, I must go back to my boatsmen. My people are waiting on our floating island, concealed in the mist offshore.
Will we see each other again, Nubia?
We will, Diana, until one of us proves she is the only Wonder Woman. Farewell, until we meet again.
Later, back at the palace.
But Mother, I want to find out more about Nubia. And isn't my place here at Paradise Island with you? No, Diana. You belong to two worlds. But you may come here as often as you wish. It is your destiny to return and try to stop man from destroying himself and his whole world. My Amazon sub is waiting to take you back. I wish it weren't. So do I. Farewell, Diana, my daughter. Now I must go to the memory bank and check the channel 3 that Diana wasn't shown and see if it's possible that Nubia is really...
The story continued in the March-April cover dated Wonder Woman number 205 in the backup story, The Mystery of Nubia. As the Amazon sub vanishes into the depths of the sea, the Queen drives her chariot to the other side of the island to hail the mysterious stranger known as Nubia.
It's the Queen.
What force pulls me to bid farewell to her too?
Nubia, wait!
Nubia is flanked by armed African warriors wearing bushy red headpieces, brandishing spears and shields.
Beware of a trap, Princess Nubia.
Sheathe your sword, Asa. We
Women have nothing to fear from women. I just saw my daughter Wonder Woman off on a mission whose end only the mute fates can see, Nubia.
I am Wonder Woman, Queen. Our next duel will decide that by Aphrodite's law.
Aye, Nubia, that is the law. Anyone may challenge my daughter's right to that title. Until then, may I wish that you find favor in Wise Hera's eyes, as you already have in mine.
Why are you so gentle with me, O Queen?
Are we not all sisters, Nubia? Farewell.
Nubia and her warriors climbed aboard an ancient Viking-style warship as dozens of oars pushed them out to sea.
What force drove me to this second farewell? The first with my daughter Diana, the second with a stranger.
Farewell, Queen!
Or is she not a stranger? This proud princess I met for the first time when she challenged Diana to a duel.
Nubia's boats glide like a phantom towards her floating island realm, perpetually girdled by concealing fog. On the island, Nubia and company find themselves in a village as two warriors in a duel are encircled by tribesmen. One wagered that Gula would win. Another felt that Kenya would slit his gullet. The prize was Princess Nubia, but before the combat could be completed, Nubia herself stepped in to use her own sword to disarm the near victor.
No man will ever own Nubia.
However, Kenya claimed his right to compete for the princess, as was the law on the floating island, Mars's law of conquest.
So be it, Kenya. Strip me of my armor, Asa, and I claim the right to name my champion, Kenya, one who will meet you on equal ground to battle for possession of me. I, myself.
Nubia was now clad only in a red-pink toga with matching booties and some bits of gold jewelry on her arms and wrists.
Here's your sword, Kenya. I need to take no advantage over you.
Kenya felt the princess was too generous because how could she hope to compete with a man? Despite his arrogance, he swiftly disarmed.
A man? What is a man without a weapon? Just another ordinary human being. Helpless as a babe, waiting to be slaughtered.
Nubia's sword thuds to the side of Kenya's face, and he seems genuinely surprised that she didn't slay him when she had the chance.
A woman doesn't destroy life, she cherishes it. She never forgets that once a life has been taken, it can never return. Until men turn from war to peace, and violence to love, they will always remain in a murderous jungle.
Nubia retired to her hut and her thoughts.
I feel as if I've been lonely since the day I was born, so long ago. I can remember no mother, no father. Did Queen Hippolyte since that? Is that why she embraced me? Because she took pity on an orphan, lonely as a star.
As she cried alone, the mystery of Nubia deepened. Will light ever reach her in her bottomless sea of loneliness? The end. Or is it, as she returns for another cover appearance, on the June-July cover dated Wonder Woman number 206, where Mars demands,
Fight Nubia! Defeat and slay Wonder Woman! And then nothing will save the Amazons of Paradise Island from my fury!
Wonder Woman, beautiful as Aphrodite, wise as Athena, swifter than Mercury and stronger than Hercules, such were the godly powers bestowed on Wonder Woman when she was but a babe. But Mars, the fearsome god of war, plotted startling evil against the Amazon maid. Now witness the cataclysmic consequences years later in War of the Wonder Woman, story by Carrie Bates, art by Heck and Coletta. Back in the U.S., Diana Prince began working as an interpreter for the U.N., and one of her roommates was of African descent. Upon seeing her again, Diana thought of how her face reminded her of someone, a fierce, beautiful face that it had continued to haunt her, the face of
Nubia. I can't get her out of my mind. It's only been a few days since she and I fought a duel, almost to the death, because she challenged me, maintaining that she was the Wonder Woman. But I still don't have any idea just who she is, or where she came from.
Diana's unanswered questions are her own mother's, too. For at that moment, thousands of miles away on Paradise Island,
who is Nubia? She claims she is the true Wonder Woman. She almost killed my daughter Diana in a single combat to prove it. Can Nubia really be who I suspect she is?
Queen Hippolyta, mother of the Amazon princess and ruler of Paradise Island, where no man can ever dare set foot, is sorely troubled.
All these years, I've kept these three memory tapes hidden from Diana, because I didn't want to burden her with the secret tragedy that followed her birth. Now I must review these tapes for myself and see if they will shed light on Nubia.
The queen places a special Minto scanning helmet over her head after inserting the tapes.
Memory tape 3-5, the creation of Queen Hippolyta's daughter.
Come with us into Queen Hippolyta's mind as the confidential data is beamed before her and converted into mental scenes.
Over 2 decades ago, on our island without men, the queen beseeched the goddess Aphrodite to grant her the gift of children. Hippolyta was instructed to fashion two figures of raw clay, one dark, one light. Aphrodite, patron goddess of the Amazons, then appeared, and with the breath of love bestowed the clay figures with the miracles of life and beauty.
Never have I seen such a breathtaking sight.
Thus the queen became the proud mother of two daughters.
Raise the infants as loving Amazons, Hippolyte. They shall grow and mature to become the most wondrous women on the face of the earth. Other gods shall soon arrive to bestow their gifts on the babes.
After Aphrodite departed, a fireball hurled into the palace Venus. No, not you. Mars, the dreaded god of war, loomed before the dazed mother as she watched one of her babies being snatched from her cradle.
Mars, put her back. You can't take one of my children.
I have other plans, Hippolyte.
No, come back. Bring her back. Sob.
And when Aphrodite, Athena, Hercules, and Mercury finally arrived to bestow the remaining babe, Diana, with their beauty, wisdom, strength, and swiftness, the glorious event was tainted with grief for Hippolyte as she pined for her missing daughter, who was not receiving the god's gifts that day. End of memory channels 3 through 5.
Not even Aphrodite could discover where Mars had hidden my other baby in his savage domain all these years. Is it possible that...
Meanwhile, Mars himself, immortal scourge of the world, cloaked in togs as crimson as the blood from a fresh wound.
The time of my attack is nigh. Hippolyte and her Amazons do not dream how close their doom is, or who my agent of destruction will be. For all my life, I've trained the babe I've stolen from Hippolyte in all forms of combat. The most glorious female warrior of all time, ruler of that floating island, Nubia. I have trained Nubia to be my instrument of vengeance against the Amazons, whom I hate because their ways of love will eventually destroy my ways of war. Unless I annihilate them first, Nubia will do this for me.
Nubia's domain is a drifting island, a natural arsenal completely in Mars' command. An arsenal which floats among the seven seas on any course the Olympian Tsar of Combat chooses to steer it. Later, in Hippolyta's royal chamber,
I've made up my mind. Diana must view these tapes for herself. Then she can decide if, Your Highness, Paradise Island is under attack.
And rushing outside,
suffering Sappho, a downpour of fiery meteors, like giant blazing coals. Where are they coming from? The attack is being launched from that island, O Queen. Suffering Sappho, that's Mars' slaughter island. After all these years, Mars returns, and this time, he means to sink Paradise Island. But there's one Amazon he has yet to reckon with, Wonder Woman.
Moments later, Diana Prince receives a mental message from her mother.
Diana, Paradise Island is under attack from Mars. Mars, god of war.
Calling plane, full speed, for Paradise Island.
I hope I'm in time. Why has Mars attacked Paradise Island after all these years?
Soon, the Amazon princess wings over a bizarre spectacle of war, unlike anything the world has ever known before.
Suffering Sappho, an invading island, launching blazing fireballs at my sister Amazons. Why? Why now? Thank Hera, Diana. But why isn't she landing here?
At that moment, the fearless Amazon directs her obedient aircraft towards the gaping maw of the spouting volcano.
I've got to silence Mars' bombarding volcano.
The amazing Amazon leapt from her plane into the path of molten rock being fired from the volcano.
Hola! I'm always ready to play bullets and bracelets. It's like playing soccer in the sky. I've got to calculate all the right angles to kick these fireballs and fuse them together into one colossal ball.
With her Amazon strength, Wonder Woman drives the flaming mass back into the fiery volcanic mouth.
There. That should put that giant corn popper out of business.
But then a terrifying sight unfolds on the charred blackness below. Queen Hippolyta is being attacked by the animated arms of a barren tree. Or was she? It turned out to be a mirage. And suddenly Diana was surrounded by the floating island's African-like warriors. The circle swiftly moved inward. Knives and swords and spears brought to bear.
When will men learn violence is a boomerang turning against you?
And with her royal power, Diana flung the whole mass of warriors through the air to slam to the ground. In the midst of the skirmish, Diana had even managed to seize all their weapons and snap them in two. Finally, the warrior tribe was encircled in her magic lasso and commanded to obey to make war no more. However, suddenly, Diana was struck in the head by the blunt side of a sword.
Your magic lasso can make my warriors submit, but not I, for I am Wonder Woman.
Nubia, this will prove I am the only Wonder Woman.
But before Nubia swings down with her sword, she stopped. Diana asks why.
I don't know what's holding my hand.
I hope you've changed your mind about battling me. Women should stick together and battle men's making a battleground of the world.
Not us, Amazon. It is our fate to fight for supremacy. You can't escape me. I too have the skill of using air currents for flight.
By Hera, indeed you do. But what is your answer to my magic lasso? Once ensnarled by it, you are compelled to obey.
I would, Amazon, if it were not for the magic sword that Mars has bestowed me with. It is the only weapon on Earth that can counteract your lasso.
Mars, I should have anticipated his deviltry was behind this. He is somehow spurring Nubia to attack me. But why did her instincts force her to hesitate? Mars is the real culprit. I must find a way to break his hold over Nubia. And fast, before Nubia breaks me.
Only one of us can live to be the true Wonder Woman, Amazon.
In the heat of battle, hands grapple and clutch at each other in savage desperation until...
Wait, that ring Nubia wears. It's strangely familiar. I've seen it somewhere before, long ago.
Distracted, Diana was slung roughly into a tree.
Your prowess at combat is cracking, Amazon.
Oh!
The dazed Wonder Woman's thoughts sift through distant memories.
Of course, now I remember. I was only a mere child at the time, but it's all coming back to me, as if it happened yesterday. I remember my mother escorting me through the Temple of Gods on Paradise Island, telling me of the immortal Olympians who bestowed their powers upon me. You have Aphrodite to thank for your beauty, Athena for wisdom, Mercury for swiftness, and Hercules for strength. But then we came to a fierce, brutal figure.
Mars is frightful, Mother.
With good reason, Diana, for Mars is the dread god of war, the scourge of all mankind. behind and our implacable enemy, because we believe in love, not war.
What a horrible ring, showing Mars stabbing the Earth.
Wonder Woman's thoughts return to the present, and
Nubia is wearing Mars's ring. Something tells me I must remove it from her finger.
What are you doing, Amazon?
Now that we're up here, above the filtering effect of the cloud cover, the rays of sunlight are at their full intensity, a must for my plan to work.
Have you gone mad, Amazon?
Deftly, Wonder Woman raises her arm to the blinding sun, so the solar rays glint off her gleaming bracelet to unerringly strike the Mars's ring on Nubia's finger.
Mars's ring. It's my most prized possession. I mustn't lose it.
As I hope, the concentrated heat of sunlight caused the ring to expand and slip off Nubia's finger. If I'm right, Nubia's rage against me will change. Will it?
Will Wonder Woman's plan work, or will Nubia remain her enemy? Meanwhile, elsewhere on Mars's slaughter island, the war god's scavenging vulture is attracted by strange sounds coming from an ebony tree. Outdistancing Nubia, Wonder Woman hurtles down.
Got you, wicked one.
And the amazing Amazon grabbed the vulture. But Nubia, overtaking the Amazon, plunges down and...
You are beaten, war wolf.
Nubia sees the albino hound in a headlock that appeared quite deathly. A moment later, Diana topples statue of Mars, bringing down upon her the wrath of the god himself.
You are going to pay for defying me, Wonder Woman, in a manner you will never dream of. Nubia, only this Amazon stands in your way of being recognized as the true Wonder Woman. Slay her! Shades of Pluto, my ring!
I feel different. Now that the Amazon took it from my finger, I don't hate her.
I guess this ring had a hypnotic influence on you, Nubia, as long as you wore it. Try and control Nubia now, Mars, with your warlike ways.
He can't anymore.
Foolish females! You'll both pay for defying me!
A horrifying, nightmarish behemoth rears up in place of the vindictive war god.
Mars has transformed himself into a dragon.
Hola! It takes more than that to frighten an Amazon.
Two fearless women strike back as the monstrous triple hitter uncoiled at them.
Never have I encountered such a fearsome beast.
My lasso, passing right through the creature. This can only mean one thing. Nubia, stop fighting.
Instantly, the dragon shimmers into nothingness. And again, it is Mars who remains.
You put on a frightening show, war god. But we can't be hurt by a mirage monster.
It was just an illusion, an attempt to scare us away.
Ever since Aphrodite defeated Mars in his first attempt to overthrow the Amazons long ago, I think he's suffered a fear of women ever since.
I, Mars, afraid of women? Nonsense!
Then why did you brainwash Nubia and send her to attack me and my Amazon sisters? Why didn't you attack us yourself? Why don't you dare to venture off your arsenal island?
Princess Diana and the Amazons aren't all evil. All those years you lied to me, trained me for a combat, groomed me to fight your war, a war you couldn't fight yourself.
Nubia, you are a fool! You have been brainwashed by the Amazon brand of love! You could have been the only Wonder Woman, Nubia! I disown you! Impudent females! I shall return and make you all rue the day you were born!
Good riddance to war.
Farewell, Amazon. I must lead my warriors into ways of peace.
May Athena guide you, Nubia, until we meet again. May it be soon.
Wonder Woman returns triumphantly to Paradise Island.
Mother, Nubia puzzles me. There's a powerful bond between us, even though we are strangers. No, Diana. Nubia is not a stranger. From everything you've told me about her training by Mars, Nubia is your sister, stolen by Mars when she was an infant.
Queen Hippolyte finally shows one of her daughters the memory tapes that reveals the existence of her sister and her tragic fate. This is the end of one story and the beginning of another.
It's a small world after all. It's a small world.
Great comics come in all shapes and sizes.
Coming soon from the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
It's Digest Cast, a new show dedicated to our beloved pocket-sized treasures from that bygone era of the 70s and 80s.
Hosted by the Fire and Water Podcast team of Robin Shag, and we'll be joined from time to time by special guests.
It's Digest Cast, because big things come in small packages.
Coming soon to the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Unfortunately, the remaining stories of Nubia are more of a trickle than a stream, and fan response appears to have been muted. For instance, in the letter column to issue number 208, Nubia wasn't even mentioned by name in a letter by York Anderson of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, who simply stated, "And finally, it's nice to have the old original back, but don't let her get bogged down in relevancy-type stories, as was hinted at by introducing a black foe. We had enough of that stuff with Green Lantern." Although Robert Kaniger did note, "Don't be colorblind. Black, white, brown, yellow, green, and polka dots can be beautiful. Just sit back and enjoy the original Wonder Woman without fretting." In the Prince Sessions letter column from issue 209, Banderson of Tujunga, California concurred, applauding the killing of Diana's late Asian mentor Ching as dynamic, and hoping aloud that the powerless Wonder Woman was the last vestige of the relevant phase of comics, and the Wonder Woman should steer clear of that in the future. But at least Neil Rhodes liked it, noting that, "Now what's this bit about Nubia and the secret of Channel 6? What's the big secret? Whatever it is, it's aroused my curiosity so much that I've ordered a subscription to Wonder Woman." Cary Bates must have enjoyed writing Nubia, because a few months later, he brought the character back in an entirely different title. The December-January cover-dated Supergirl number 9. Prepare yourself for a shock, readers. Supergirl has started a new life for herself. Superman's beautiful blonde cousin has exiled herself from the rest of the world and all men forever. You're about to meet the Super Amazon in a story with art by Art Saaf, whose career apparently dates back to 1941, but the lion's share of it was from 1969 through 1974. In the story, Supergirl saves a couple from a near-fatal car accident, only to realize that one of the people in the car was her boyfriend Dale, cheating on her. Supergirl has a couple more encounters with male conceit, and finally has her fill. Out over the azure Pacific, Supergirl soars, not caring where or how far she flies. Over unfamiliar waters, she spies a strange vessel passing below. It's another quasi-Viking number. And aboard, a blonde white Amazon shouts, "Nubia, sharkmen are attacking Queen Hippolyta!
I'll pull their teeth! Mother!"
Readers of Wonder Woman will recognize the beautiful, dark-skinned Amazon as Nubia, Queen Hippolyta's other daughter.
"These brutes are fearsome, but no match for my Amazon strength."
Also in this instance, Nubia had switched to wearing a red top and skirt with a white belt and white boots, as well as now bearing the Amazon bracelets. As for the shark men, they were mutations from a nearby atomic test. They were trying to kill the Amazons. It takes the Maid of Might to finally shake off the shark men.
"Hola, Supergirl. Your formidable powers have frightened off the other shark men. My other daughter, Nubia, was wounded during the attack. She needs to be treated by our Amazon physicians."
Supergirl flew the entire boat back to Paradise Island, and Nubia was soon being treated by advanced Amazon physicians. Further, Hippolyta was so impressed by the display of Supergirl's power that she offered to make her an Amazon and her adoptive daughter. Supergirl sets about forming a number of feats that impress the Amazons.
"Never have I seen such a rousing display of female force, except for my first daughter, Diana. From now on, Supergirl, you shall be called by your native Kryptonian name, Kara. I dub thee Kara, the Amazon princess."
However, the queen's festivities were interrupted by grave news about her daughter Nubia.
"Suffering Sappho, what is wrong?"
Frantic minutes later.
"And none of our remedies can rouse Nubia out of her deathly coma, O Queen. We've tried everything, but her shark poisoning resists all our treatments.
But there must be some way to revive her.
Nubia's only hope would be a serum concocted from the wild Kalogi root, O Queen. But we have none here, and time's slipping away."
"Great Hera, Kalogi grows in only one spot on Earth, a small uncharted island 2,000 miles away in the South Pacific. If only Diana were here. She could retrieve a Kalogi root in time to save her sister. But she's gone. On another mission. No way to contact her."
Kara was recognized as Nubia's only hope and told her mother she'd be careful as she sought out the Kalogi Island. The Maid of Might faced a number of bizarre obstacles and was gone almost a full day before returning with the root.
"There's still time to save her daughter. And we shall, if the gods are kind."
Agonizing hours later, as amber rays of dawn filter through the windows over the ailing Amazon's bed.
"I'm regaining my strength now, thanks to the Kalogi serum. And you, Kara, I owe you my life."
Supergirl just figured that's what Amazon sisters were for. However, it turned out that Kara was not truly ready to accept the Amazon way of life. Supergirl realized the world needed her, and it wasn't fair to anyone for her to be cloistered on some island. But Kara said that she would never forget the kindness of Hippolyta, and would always remember her one day as an Amazon.
"And I'll always think of you as my third Amazon daughter, Kara. Farewell."
Sadly, the final appearance of Nubia in her original incarnation was a cameo in the October 1979 cover dated Super Friends number 25 in the story Puppets of the Overlord by E. Nelson Bridwell, Ramona Fraiden, and Robert Smith. In the story, the Super Friends were mind-controlled by a bad guy and gave in to the worst fascistic excesses inherent in the superhero concept.
"You men, always thinking you know best. I'll show you what a Wonder Woman can do. Starting with the liberation of the oppressed women of Africa."
Reaching an unidentified city on the continent, Wonder Woman attracted a crowd.
"This is the 20th century, but your men still treat you as possessions. Stand up to them. Turn against them. How can we? They are stronger. You have the power to beat them, to usher in a new era of peace. Follow me. I shall lead you to victory."
"No, they already have a leader. Me. I am their Wonder Woman."
"Nubia, my black sister."
"Yes, molded from black clay, when you were molded from white, brought to life by the goddess Aphrodite. But you do not speak Aphrodite's language now. You speak revolution, violence in the name of peace, as I once acted when under the influence of the war god Ares."
"No one speaks to me in that tone. I will dispose of you first, ex-leader."
And so a struggle begins between two equals, neither of whom seem able to defeat the other. One thing that was interesting about this story is that the other Super Friends, when they met other characters, defeated them. Most outrageously, Batman took out Green Lantern Hal Jordan. Less surprisingly, Superman beat up the Green Fury in her first appearance, and Robin took out the Tasmanian Devil in one of his early appearances. Plus, Aquaman beat up Mera and Aqualad, but I don't think that was all that uncommon an occurrence. But in the case of Wonder Woman versus Nubia, we don't see anything else. In fact, we never see Nubia again. So basically, it's up to the reader to write their own conclusion to that battle.
"She's a naval officer.
They've captured Major Travis.
But when danger threatens, you can turn her into Wonder Woman.
All the world is waiting for you.
It's Wonder Woman's Paradise Island playset with Queen Hippolyte.
In your satin tights.
Her arch rival, the beautiful Nubia. There's Wonder Woman's throne with a secret compartment for her brush and comb.
Wonder Woman!
A clothes closet. And collapsible walls.
Now the world is ready for you.
When you put her on the spinner, she knocks down the palace.
Take the hawking dove.
Only you know Wonder Woman's identity.
And I'll never tell.
Wonder Woman Paradise Island playset. Wonder Woman and all other dolls sold separately by Mego.
In truth, Nubia only appeared in one full-length comic story. Her appearances in Wonder Woman 204 and 205 were really extended trailers for that sole appearance. That having been said, I think that Nubia brought up Robert Kaniger's game and Don Hicks, actually. The pages that feature her were just better than the average Wonder Woman comic from that time period. Robert Kaniger wasn't very good at carrying over characters he'd created from one story to another within Wonder Woman continuity, but I'd like to think that had he stuck around as writer-editor on Wonder Woman for a bit longer, we might have seen more of Nubia. She certainly was introduced with a fair amount of pomp and circumstance. Her follow-up appearance in the Supergirl story was fairly terrible, but even in that Super Friends cameo, she's portrayed as a major force, somebody who can go toe-to-toe with Wonder Woman. I've given Robert Kaniger a lot of flack, even on this podcast, but I have to appreciate what a progressive move it was to create Nubia. And it also reminds me that Kaniger has been known to do this before, especially with heroines. He created Black Canary, he created Rose and Thorn, not to mention notable villains like Green Lantern's Harlequin and most especially Poison Ivy. I'm not going to lie and say that I don't have trouble with how Nubia's presence complicates Wonder Woman's origin, but given the fact that Wonder Woman no longer seems to possess that origin now that she's the fruit of Zeus's loins, Nubia has a unique opportunity to carry on an aspect of Wonder Woman's canon that she herself has abandoned. I think most of Nubia's looks have been cool. The silver armor looked okay in the comics. It looks exceptional in the doll form, though. And I actually really loved Ramona Freyden's design of the character for that brief Super Friends cameo. If the Green Fury had looked as good as Nubia's redesign, that character might have taken off if you could get past the nostril jets. Okay, it would have been a struggle regardless. But despite having been forgotten by DC for decades at a time, Nubia has a rare role in their continuity. She has power comparable to Wonder Woman. She has ties to Wonder Woman from the very beginning of the character's existence. Retroactively, of course. She is a bit of the Kitty Braverman of the Bronze Age, but we'll forgive her that because depending on whether you're looking at her as a hero or as a villain, she's still, at the very least, DC's first African-American anti-heroine. She predates the Vixen by almost 5 years, not to mention Black Lightning. And by 1975, she'd made a lot more appearances than Green Lantern John Stewart had. And yeah, while her name may make some eyes roll, I think that there's value in this character and she should be revisited. And I think that she has a very valuable role within the Wonder Woman continuity. She helps to expand it and to secure a place of inclusion for people within it. Clearly, Nubia should have become either one of the great Wonder Woman foes or her staunchest ally. You have to remember, when Wonder Girl was created, she was supposed to be Diana as a teenager. A mistake led to her joining the Teen Titans and developing into an entirely separate being named Donna Troy. Wonder Girl was treated as a Titans character first and was very much extant for most of her shared history with Wonder Woman. At the point in time Nubia was created, Steve Trevor was dead, Etta Candy forgotten, and there wasn't much in the way of prominent Amazons anymore. Even if there had been, Diana Prince's main supporting character for years was Ai Ching, who was killed off in the very issue Nubia was introduced. Beyond Queen Hippolyte, Wonder Woman was starting off with a blank slate in the supporting cast department. Further, she hadn't dealt with her better known rogues in years. Many were quite dated by the 70s, and they'd have to be reintroduced to readers. Nubia had appeared on a fantastic, well-remembered cover, and by 1975 was set to be played by Teresa Graves on the television show. Nubia was even introduced as Wonder Woman's super foe as part of Mego's line of tie-in dolls, and the only opponent created for the line. Friend or enemy, Nubia was all set to be a big deal and a lasting addition to the character's lore. Or not, the Nubia character was dropped from the TV show before she was ever introduced, after it made a switch in networks. The comic book character had a tainted origin where she was raised on an island of black male tribesmen, then had to defend her chastity and right to self-determination at sword point. Nubia was terribly lonely and only fought Wonder Woman because of some evil spell, so Nubia wasn't even self-motivated as a villain. And it's a shame because there was so much potential there. For instance, Teresa Graves was the first African-American actress to star in a TV series on a U.S. network, so it would have been a pretty big deal for her to have played Nubia. And those early plans also inspired the Mego Corporation to produce a 12-inch doll of Nubia. According to ExperienceTheWonder.com, the doll was released on June 6, 1976, and the packaging advertised advertise Nubia as its Wonder Woman super foe, that heartless archenemy of evil, Nubia, direct from her reign of TV terror. And that's technically true because the Nubia doll, at least, appeared on a couple of television commercials. And according to the WonderWomanMuseum.com, there was an Amazon-like African-American woman named Carolyn, played by Jane Kennedy in the episode Knockout. That character was considered for a spinoff that was ultimately decided against. The doll itself is gorgeous. It's really exquisite for the times. It's pretty much an exact replica of the original Nubia costume from the comics, sans the helmet, and they decided to add white streaks in her hair, which gives it a nice pop. And at nearly 13 inches tall, it's a very impressive looking doll. To buy it in the 1970s, you would have paid $14. Today, it fetches about $400. And you gotta figure a fair few girls in the 1970s were playing with this doll. So this character may have resonance that isn't fully appreciated. Certainly, I see a lot of African-American women cosplaying as Wonder Woman. Occasionally, they even venture into Nubia or into Afrocentric customized versions of the classic Wonder Woman costume. I have to wonder if these aren't those children of the 70s growing up today. Or hell, at this point, the children's children. And just as a doll, Nubia is important. She was the only African-American DC character to be represented in plastic in that era, by Mego at least. I think the only other one they did at all for the superhero line was the Falcon. And also, it's possible that Nubia has a legacy that extends to the 30th century. In articles by Carol A. Strickland and Scipio Garling I found online, it was noted how strong a similarity the floating island had to one called Marzol from the infamous Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes comic issue 216 from May 1976, involving superpowered African-American isolationists with their own mobile island in futuristic Earth. And as Strickland points out, the main hero of the group, Tyrock, who continued to be a Legion associate for years afterward, had the civilian name of Troy Stewart. Whether intentional or not, those are some fairly obvious connections that could be made. So how did Nubia go from being the great character find of 1973 to a cautionary tale? Being published by DC Comics in the 1970s couldn't have helped, where Black Lightning couldn't survive a year, even though Marvel had managed to get Luke Cage comic out for a decade, and at DC, the Vixen never got published at all to this day. Nubia's creators did make a bit of a problematic mess out of her origin and motivations coming out of the gate, and allowed her to immediately stall out. Nubia had such potential to be a Wonder Woman for people of color, arriving just a year after Green Lantern John Stewart, and long before he was making regular appearances. Wonder Woman is a character that comes with a lot of baggage and forced regulations, where Nubia offers the opportunity to write a Wonder Woman with much greater freedom to experiment. Nubia should have been a swell aspirational character, and in a world where Beyoncé Knowles was a serious contender to play Princess Diana movie, the character still has an audience in the waiting. Given how distastefully Diana has been handled in recent years, I'd vastly prefer some Nubia myself, either by taking up the sword chopping so that Diana could go back to her magic lasso, or by assuming the role of peaceful ambassador that extreme portrayals have forced Diana to abandon. In the 21st century, in order to reflect a Black female audience hungry for heroism beyond Vixen, in swiftly expanding media platforms, DC Comics needs Nubia now more than ever. Thank you for the wondrous words from the 108th Sage, Alex, Ally Bats, Ange, Between the Pages, Blogging Puppies, Brody's Kitchen, Captain Cup Holder, Coffee and Comics Blog, Comic Reflections, David Golding, DCU Movie Page, The Dead Seven, Dr. G Nerdologist, Ed Moore at Indie Comics Fan, Teal Productions and Miskatonic, Eli at L Knight 20, Firestorm Fan, Hulkling All Yeah, Isaiah Stevens, Jeffrey Brown, Joseph Crawford, Justice's First Dawn, Keith G. Baker, JLA at Dennis K, Connell at Bazinga Cal, Luke Dobb, Mario and Luther Lang, Martin Gray, Matches Baloney, Millennial Eastwood, Miltoner, Min, Nethead, Nicole, Nora Crest, Ohms for Shanti, Out of the Fridge Podcast, Rad Adventures Podcast Network, Randy Caldwell, Ricardo, Richard Field, Rob at Speculum Fight, Rob Lean, Ronnie Casol, Ryan Daly, Silver and Gold Podcast, Siskoid, Slangwood Resists, Style Icon, Senate Alias Scarecrow, Talking Wonder Woman, Tony Acero, Trekker Talk, The Original Underoos Brand, Unearthly Visions, Viviana Holguin, Warlock Thanos Podcast, Warlord Worlds Podcast, Wonder Woman Warrior for Peace Podcast, Willie Yarbrough, and Xenozoic Xenophiles. Wonder Woman is the copyright of DC Comics Entertainment. This is a non-profit fan-produced podcast. No infringement of any copyrights are intended, and where copyrighted material appears, it is believed protected under fair use. If you enjoy the show, please feel free to leave a comment on the Diana Prince is the New Wonder Woman blog, the Rolled Spine podcast blog, write to me at emailofdiabolu@yahoo.com, featuring two underscores, or just hit me up on Twitter at CommanderBlanks or at Rolled Spine. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful week. We'll be right back.